In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most of you probably know that I spent this last week making a trip to Dallas, Texas. I drove down to Atlanta to meet Father Peter Smith. Father Peter and myself go back to the beginnings of the diocese and have known one another just about since the beginning of our coming to the Diocese of the South to help to found missions, to help Archbishop Dimitri of Dallas to found missions. The Diocese of the South was begun in 1978, the year before Sharon and I went to seminary. And I met Archbishop Dimitri, I believe that following spring in 1980. He had all of us come into the room at seminary that's called the Solarium because it's surrounded by windows. And there's a large rectangular table there. And all of those who were interested in the Diocese of the South, which had just begun, came and sat with Archbishop Dimitri at that table. And he told us that there was a great deal of work that needed to be done in the South, and that there were many communities all over the South who wanted priests, wanted to begin parishes where there had never been English-speaking Orthodox parishes before. Now, Archbishop Dimitri himself had much earlier begun the first English-speaking parish in Texas. Archbishop Dimitri and his sister, when they were teenagers, discovered the fullness of the Christian faith had been kept historically down through the ages, so that the rest of the story that had been missing from the teachings that they had received in their parents' home was available all together, all in one piece. Archbishop Dimitri had grown up as a Baptist, a Southern Baptist, and he and his sister went one day to their mother and asked her for her blessing to be received into the Orthodox Church. And she asked them if the Orthodox Church accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he was able to say that, yes, it does. And so she gave him her blessing. He became an Orthodox Christian. Now, this was in the early 1940s, late 1930s. In 1943, Bishop Dimitri, then Robert Royster, was drafted into the United States Army. And after an intensive instruction in Japanese, he became a translator from Japanese into English, and served with General MacArthur in Japan after the fall of Japan. He had a facility with languages, but Japanese was his third language. His second language was Spanish. He took a master's degree in Spanish and was very close to people of Mexico and the Spanish-speaking people of Texas. When he published The Dawn, the diocesan newspaper, for many years, he always made sure that there was one page in Spanish. He was always reaching out to those who might not otherwise have had an opportunity to have contact with the fullness of the Christian faith that is found in the Orthodox Church. He was involved in the talks that brought so many of the evangelical Orthodox churches, that Protestant-founded movement of those who wanted to reach beyond the limitations of our Protestant history. I, too, was born Protestant and eventually discovered that there is something beyond the history that begins in the 1500s with the Reformers. Archbishop Dimitri was instrumental in bringing them into the church as well. He was an evangelist by virtue of himself. Like our Lord, Jesus Christ himself, Archbishop Dimitri's message was in himself. He was transparent to Christ. That is how he communicated the faith to others. He wrote books on doctrine and teaching, but they were for instruction, for better understanding. The content of the faith he preached by who he was. And we, meeting him on that day at St. Vladimir's, around that table, when he was telling us all of the work that needed to be done and all of the good that could be done, building up communities in the Diocese of the South, he made no promise to us whatsoever, because he told us, we have everything we need, except we can't offer you any salvation. You would have to come and find some way. The Diocese of the South began with 12 communities between Arizona and the Carolinas, north as far as Kentucky, south including Florida. And today there are over 70 communities. And all of those communities have had contact by way of at least some of their members, even in these recent years, with Archbishop Dimitri. And the way he had of going about being a bishop, he did not rely upon authority. He had authority, but his authority lay in who he was. He was often criticized, even among the clergy, for not using his authority to tell people, this you can't do, this you must do. He never, never did that. And yet, all of us priests, all of his people, we followed him because he loved us, because we loved him. We saw a man that could not have been seen by us had he not been at one with God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Transparent to Christ, we saw the man himself and loved him for who he was. That is the way it always was with him. The secret man, the secret person, it was the man that you saw. He was gentle and humble in everything that he did. And when he preached in simple words that you knew were deeper than any personal conviction, that they came from the rock-solid truth that is God himself become man and enabling us to speak him as the Word of God. Not with thunder or fireworks. He never indulged in those sorts of things. He had a moral authority, integrity beyond that of any other man I have known. Father Peter and I went to see him. Monday, we drove all that day. Got to see him early Tuesday afternoon. There was a service of blessing with holy oil Tuesday evening. On the way over there on Monday, we got reports by way of the telephone, out on the road, but not disconnected, you know. And it didn't sound good. It sounded as though he might be gone. He might have fallen asleep in the Lord before we even got there. But then we heard that he was rallying, and I thought to myself, it is because we are coming to him that he is rallying. Always when his priests and his people were around him, he would gain strength. No matter what difficulties he might have had, everything else was cast off so that he could focus on us and give us all of himself. There's a verse in Isaiah 53:12. It's applied to Christ, that talks about how he poured himself out for us. This man poured himself out for us, for the Diocese of the South, in order to found our faith and the life that we have in common. He began the diocese personally. As a subdeacon, he went to his priest in the Ukrainian Orthodox Church in Dallas in 1954. And he asked permission to start an English-speaking church. He was ordained deacon and then priest that same year. And by 1958, he was appointed the first priest, the first rector of the church in Dallas, St. Seraphim. Now, St. Seraphim Cathedral, where Father and Peter and I just went early this past week. 20 years later, he became the bishop of the Diocese of the South, and his home parish, that parish that he had founded in 1958, became the cathedral, and his work as, well, I can't help but think of as an apostle to the South began. More than half a century, he labored as priest and bishop in order to plant Orthodoxy in the Southland, the heart of America, to plant Orthodoxy in the heart of us as Americans. And he did it person to person at every step of the way. When I came to South Carolina for the first time to start St. John of the Ladder, Archbishop Dimitri, I remember, came to visit us. We were meeting at that time in the dance studio of Mr. Andrew Kucharski, who had a dance company in Greenville. And there were mirrors all down one side. We thought it was maybe a good thing because it looked like there were twice as many of us. Archbishop Dimitri came, and I just was so struck by the fact that his bearing, his demeanor, his character as an Orthodox bishop, as a leader, as father to us all. It was dark beard in those days, you know. Some of us never saw him back in those days when he had a dark beard, but he did. He was still vigorous, strong, as he was vigorous into advanced years, for sure. The priests of the diocese, we looked up to him as a man. He was a man of strength and courage and character and all of those things that you want in a father. He was a father to all of us. And we loved him for it. We would have done anything for him. He came and visited us in that place, and his presence there made it into a cathedral, because his mind and his heart was always worshiping God and making him present wherever he was. He transformed the space around him, because your focus was on the man who was transparent to all that is good and just and courageous and as it ought to be. That was the man. We went up, Father Peter and I, to the room where he was sick. And we were afraid. I was afraid. I can't speak for Father Peter. I visited sick rooms many times over the years. And I know I've thought for myself, how will it be on that day when I am on the place where I will die? We do the best we can to be all that we are meant to be. But we know ourselves, each one of us, better than anyone else. And we know, each one of us, that we ourselves have feet of clay. That all that is good and holy and best in us is from God. It passes through us to the degree that we let it do. But in the end, how will we confront those final hours, those last days? And there is the secret fear that in the end everyone will see that after all, we were not really what we wanted to be. There was none of that here. Archbishop Dmitri, his body wasted away. He must have been in pain. There was no pain visible in his face. He was gracious, received us with love and compassion and concern. Father Peter can't help but joke in any situation, and just joked all over the room, and the Archbishop responded to him. They had been companions in Christ in the struggle to establish this diocese for all of those decades. And I found him the same warm and loving and compassionate man of strength and courage and faith that I had always known. No difference at all. He gave us his blessing many times. And before we left, on Wednesday morning, we went back one last time to see him before we got on the road. And I told him, Your Eminence, last Sunday we read the Gospel from St. Paul where he says, You have many teachers, but you have not many fathers. And I said, I thought of you immediately. You have been a father to all of us. What is it for a Christian to lose someone like our Archbishop Dmitri? Archbishop Dmitri fell asleep in the Lord just this morning at 2 o'clock. And I marvel at my own response. There are layers, of course. But the thing that I brought back with me was not despair. It was joy. It was happiness. Now, I've heard about this, read about it in stories of the lives of the saints, all this business about joy in the face of death. But I'm here to tell you, there is joy in the face of death. When someone falls asleep in Christ, as our Archbishop did, the joy is in the fact that you know that this man that you love, his life is not ending. In fact, there's a little bit of concern on my part in that now I know he can see all the things that I do when I mess up. But I was successfully hiding from him all those years. And there is a closeness there that death does not put to an end. There is joy in the face of death. The love that we have for those who have formed us and molded us over the years during which we have at least hopefully slightly matured That joy doesn't end because of the separation of the body and the soul at that hour. Archbishop Dmitri lives as much and more now amongst us as he ever did. We will not see him for a while, but he is able to be with those who helped him found this diocese. Father George Gladke, whom I remember so well, and I'm sure no one has met, but he was the first man to whom I went for confession. He would go around before the Archbishop and visit those places that thought that they might like to have a church. Father Gladke, with his dark, black beard, he would give wooden Easter eggs, decorated Easter eggs to all of the children. Those early days, I'll never forget them. Archbishop Dmitri is now again with Father George and all of the other early founders of the diocese in a closeness even more intimate than the closeness that he and I had, or that Father Peter and he and the other priests and members of the diocese had with him. Before we left, after telling him about what a father he had been to me and to all of us, I kissed his hand one last time. And that's what I thought of when I read the email, hearing that he had fallen asleep in the Lord this morning. But I was able to go and to kiss his hand one last time and let him know, as if he didn't know, how much we all love him. We are fortunate in the Diocese of the South that we have had such a beginning, that our beginnings were beginnings that were made by such a man, such a bishop. And in our own lives, we need to take him seriously as an example in terms of his humility, his soft-spokenness, his refusal ever to grasp or hold things for himself, or fear that somehow he wasn't fulfilling his responsibilities well enough according to others. We all have those kinds of fears. But here is a man who fulfilled all of those responsibilities to a degree unimaginable by the rest of us, simply by doing what needed to be done from day to day, being faithful to the Lord, walking in His steps and not turning aside, being there for all of us in our need. He is there for us to call out to today. We say all the time that the saints that we have on our walls, they are still with us. The life that they have in Christ is the same life that we are brought into. The world rejects it. The world believes in itself. It does not believe in a life that has conquered this world with all of its difficulties. But our life is the life of the kingdom. The life of these we have here in our icons, their life is the life of the kingdom, as our life is the life of the kingdom. And Archbishop Dmitri's life is the life of that kingdom. And death cannot separate us. And so even though we will be doing the litany for the departed, because he has departed from amongst us, he is there in that place of brightness, that place of repose, that place without sighing, that place that we come and we enter into when we come and enter into the kingdom of God. It's the same place. This world has no terror for those who love God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, and with all of their strength. And that is how our Archbishop loves God. Let it be the love that each one of us aspires to as we seek to cast off our bondage to this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.